entirely a trial, no legal counsel, and no opportunity for appeal. Pilate even said himself that Jesus had done nothing deserving of death, but he crucified him anyway to appease the crowd that they gathered. So why would human beings have done such a thing? Why was there such a blatant miscarriage of justice? Were it some of the same people that were present, were the same ones there who had spread their palm branches and said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? Did these same people change their minds so radically so as to turn on the very source of light and life itself? To be honest, the scripture doesn't provide us with that level of detail, but it certainly is possible, seeing that gross change. Another thing that I was noticing this year on Passion is that there are two mindsets taking place. Now, the first one was that the charges against Jesus, they lacked any semblance of truth. So here we read from the Gospel of Matthew, but in other Gospels it's even pointed out that many witnesses were brought forth and their testimony didn't agree. One of them said, "Oh, I heard Jesus saying this." Somebody else said, "Oh no, I saw him doing this." And they never quite agreed with one another. And that was supposed to happen due to their legal system, that someone was only supposed to be condemned based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So even by their own standards, he didn't raise to the level of being convicted. This was a trial based on facts and truth. Jesus would have been set free. Now the other detail that comes to light is how the chief priest stirred up the crowd. Now these were men, they were all men in those days, men who had some considerable influence. Now on the one hand, you can look and say, well, of course, they were the clergy, they were the ones doing all the sacred rites within the temple, they were the leaders, and so people would listen to them. And that's not to say that everything they did using that authority and that power is bad. I mean, in some cases, their influence was greatly disturbed. There is a historical source which is outside of the Bible that tells of Roman soldiers coming into the temple. And when they came in, they had on their shields graven images. Images paying homage to Caesar, who was thought to be a divine being, or a son of God, so to speak. And what happened was the priests saw this coming in, and knowing the prohibition against graven images, they formed a line to stop them. They wouldn't let the Roman soldiers come in any further. And when the Roman soldiers were threatened with violence, they all bent down and offered their bare necks, saying, "Here, you're going to have to kill us before you bring these graven images into the temple." These soldiers recognized this would be a lot of bloodshed, and they relented. They turned around and left. But of course, in the case of Jesus, the chief priests were not quite so virtuous. Whatever their motivation, they orchestrated Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. And they're able to do that with the power, the influence that they already had. They used their influence to turn the crowd against Jesus, and instead they asked for Barabbas. So what we have here is kind of an interplay and a conflict between truth and power. The truth was that Jesus had done nothing deserving of death. The existing powers, though, decided otherwise and crucified him anyway. But unfortunately, in the world, we see plenty of examples of power winning out over truth. Even when your average person reads about it in the newspaper and shakes his or her head, they often feel powerless to affect any kind of change. I can remember several years ago, there was a news story in the airwaves, and a lot of people were talking about it. It was a pharmaceutical company named Turing Pharmaceuticals. And what they did was they purchased the manufacturing rights to an out-of-patent anti-malaria drug, certainly something that saved a lot of lives. It was cheap to produce. It had been around for years. watching the story unfold, questioned the ethics of such a move, but no one could do very much about it. Power seems to win out. It was at least until their CEO got brought into jail for some other unrelated charges. Now, growing up, I heard a common piece of wisdom, but folk wisdom, said that power corrupts, and absolutely power corrupts absolutely. So I might suggest that power only exposes the corruption already present. None of us has a perfect grasp of truth, or goodness for that matter. We try the best we can, but sometimes our notion of what is good is skewed and is off course. And this is traditionally what the church describes as sin. So just having being bit off and making bad decisions as a result of which. We try our best, but left to our own sin, our own devices, we fall short. And all the power does, power between one person and another, is it amplifies and makes visible the sin that already exists. You think of sin as a propensity towards bad decisions, and the bad decisions themselves are a result of that propensity. This makes a lot more sense. But don't get me wrong, bad decisions, especially when we try to justify them as necessary and good, will increase the likelihood for more bad decisions, for more sin. But that is the very reason why Jesus came. Jesus is the light of the world, and as such, he brought light to the darkest places. Where there is evil, Jesus brought goodness. The contrast between the triumphal entry and the crucifixion is there, so that you and I can see the difference. You see the entry of Jesus, of people welcoming Jesus, saying, "Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna," and that is true. We see the crucifixion of crowds saying, "Crucify him," of him being rejected, spat upon, beat, executed. That's there so we can say, "No, this is not good." We still see the goodness itself present in those circumstances. Instead of seeing a mere criminal condemned to die, one of many in ancient Rome, we see goodness itself unjustly condemned. We see the goodness in the face of the bad. Because of Jesus, we can say, yes, things that are good are good. Things that are not, are not. The speedy trial that he experienced and the swift execution is something that is not good. And in today's day and age, at least we allow for more time so that a person can mount a defense. But there are still more places to transform. There are still areas of the human heart that have not fully grasped the full measure of God's goodness. There are still places where power wins out over goodness and truth. There are still places where the light of the gospel is sorely needed. This tragic and brutal nature, this moral and ethical failure, is something that Jesus willingly endured. He didn't do it because the world was too powerful for him. Quite the opposite. But he did it to bring goodness to the places where it is needed most. As we move towards Easter, we can see that goodness does indeed win. Death does not have the final answer. Jesus has risen and continues to elevate our hearts and minds towards what is true and what is good. Power itself is sovereign. But until then, we still have what is in front of us. Group of people momentarily